Ready to hear argument now in Sony against General Electric. Mr. Penrose.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Your Honors, and it may it please the Court. After 5 years of litigation and only 2 months before trial, GE promised to pay plaintiff Sony over $100,000. GE promised to reinstate Mr. Sony to a position he was terminated from 6 years prior. GE promised to provide all credit and seniority to Mr. Sony for the period he was...
I think we have the facts, but
yes, Your
this
Honor.
Is not immediately important to the issues at hand. Actually, one thing that is immediately important to the issue at hand is whether we have appellate jurisdiction. I gather that the calculation of attorney's fees under Rule 37 is still before the district court.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, if there are two theories on which attorney's fees can be awarded, and only one has been finally resolved, why is there a final and appealable decision?
Because the denial of our attorney's fees under 5K is the quote-unquote statutory attorney's fees, which the Supreme Court has indicated
is clear, counsel, but it's very common for people to have two theories of recovery in a case, to have one decided and to have the other open. And you can't immediately appeal. You have to wait and have all of the grounds of recovery decided.
Correct, but the issue that still remains in the district court concerns the court's inherent sanctionable power, just in a issue totally unrelated to...
It's not totally unrelated. The amount of fees in that request is a subset of the amount of fees here requested. You're asking for fees for all the work achieved, and that deals with fees for a subset of the work that was required. Are there any cases that you know of that permit appeal when there are two theories of attorney's fees, one the subset of the other, and one is resolved and the other is pending?
No, Your Honor, I don't. You are correct. There is obviously some overlap between the issue of fees for the extra time it took concerning the sanction issue, but that would be, we would submit that is going to be...
And you may be interested to know that at least one court of appeals in an essentially identical case has held that there is no appeal is possible. That's the Eighth Circuit in the modern textile case. So we would have to create a conflict in order to find jurisdiction here.
The issue here is we would be entitled to those fees regardless of whether we are considered prevailing parties under... the statute 5K. Judge Gottschall indicated that was our compensation for the extra time it took during litigation to get this information, the extra attorney fee time it took. So from that standpoint, you can divide out the two that we will be entitled to some amount even if we are never considered prevailing party.
Right, and that of course is exactly the problem. After the district court calculates that amount, then we'll have an appeal by General Electric complaining about that calculation. I can't see any reason why we should resolve this appeal and then we'll have another appeal related to attorney's fees in the very same case. It's one of the benefits of the final decision rule.
I had another question for you about your settlement, which is whether until this stipulated judgment of dismissal with prejudice is actually entered, whether we know if the court in the final analysis is going to incorporate any of it, any of the settlement in its final judgment, such that you might be in one situation under the Buckhannon rule, or if the court in the end is not going to incorporate any of it in its final judgment, and thus under our cases in TD and other cases, you might be in a very different situation under Buckhannon, because although attorney's fees are certainly separately appealable, when there's a final judgment, when we have indicated anyhow that it's really hard to imagine a situation where the attorney's fees issue is final but the underlying suit isn't resolved. And I can't say I know what this judgment is going to look like without seeing it.
Well, Your Honor, there won't be a judgment per se. It'll just be a when and if the time ever comes.
How do I know?
How do we know? When the district court dismisses this case, there are two possibilities. One is there will just be a line that says case dismissed. Another is a line that says case dismissed, court retains jurisdiction to enforce settlement. Another possibility is entering the settlement as the judgment, case dismissed. Now, of course, if it's the last of those, you have a much better position, but until one of those things happens, right, your reply brief actually just goes, thumps away at the conclusion that this case is still pending in the district court, which, of course, is another reason that Judge Wood suggests that this is a little too early for an appeal.
The stipulated dismissal, or at least the parties agreed that the case would be stipulated, would be a dismissal with prejudice. So when and if the
Well, I know it says with prejudice, and it's written in the future tense. I'm looking at the page right now. But all of the things Judge Easterbrook has described would count as a dismissal with prejudice. Nobody could ever bring a lawsuit on this claim again.
All three of the options,
though, that Judge Easterbrook described satisfy that criterion, and yet those options have different consequences under the Supreme Court's Buchanan decision for the awardability of fees, which is why it's very difficult to know how one is supposed to evaluate Buchanan without knowing which one of those is the way the district court chooses to go.
Except Buchanan, and particularly the cases that talk about the Second Circuit and the Eleventh Circuit, and admittedly there were dismissals with prejudice that retained jurisdiction, so under the Seventh Circuit...
Because there were actual dismissals instead of a promise of a future dismissal. That's the difference.
Because the court could look at what the district court did.
Right. But in this case, the district court never got rid of the case, so it has the power to enforce the agreement, and Buchanan seems
Which means that we don't know in the final analysis where you're going to fit in this range of legal possibilities under Buchanan. If you're right and the district court has still all this jurisdiction over what's going on with this case, it's way too early to make a decision about attorney's fees.
Except for the issue of attorney's fees.
Well, no. You're saying the district court still has jurisdiction over the case, right?
The case that remains, correct, the merits.
The case. The cases are unified entities on the whole and by and large. And
for the simple reason that the case is not being dismissed.
Okay, well.
If there are no other questions, I will reserve the rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Penrose. Mr. Bogard.
May it please the court, Penrose. I will tell the court right up front that I had assumed that this was a separate order, separately appealable under the collateral order doctrine.
Why in the world would you assume that, given that we expressly issued an order directing the party's attention to the jurisdictional question and calling for briefs?
Well, Your Honor,
which you chose not to file.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I guess I thought that because the court had given thereafter a briefing schedule on the merits, that the issue was resolved.
No. It means that it's coming before us for decision now. And I find it unfathomable that after the court issues a jurisdictional briefing order, the parties, you would just choose not even to address jurisdiction. It's not very helpful to the court.
I apologize to the court for that, Your Honor.
Well, this is your opportunity. Address it now.
Well, Your Honor, I must say I'm not prepared to address it because I
can't
fathom
how you can be not prepared when we issued a jurisdictional briefing order.
Your Honor, all I can say is that I misconstrued the court's instructions for briefing as being an assumption of jurisdiction, not a reserving of
the
matter.
If we had issued an order saying we find there is jurisdiction, that would be fine. All we did was issue an order calling for briefs, and one of the issues to be addressed in briefs is jurisdiction.
Your Honor, I have nothing to offer this morning on the final order final order rule. I can only say that if Judge Gottschall had wanted to make an official judicial approval, she could have. She didn't. If she had wanted to retain some oversight. She could have, she didn't. So I think that even at this stage, it's apparent from her order and the record that we have that neither of those items from the DD decision have been satisfied or will be satisfied. But I have nothing to add, Your Honor, on the final order rule or the collateral order doctrine. I apologize.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Penrose?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.